welcome to Chapel Chat, a podcast engaging questions of how life meets faith, both in our own faith community here at Ladue Chapel Presbyterian Church and our community at large in St. Louis. I'm Dieter Heinzel, one of the pastors here at Ladue Chapel, and I am your host on this journey. You can find out more about us if you go to our website at ladueschapel.org, or you can follow us on Facebook or Instagram. And of course, as always, we would love for you to join us for worship on Sunday morning, and you can do that either in person in our sanctuary, services start at 10:30, or you can worship with us online. So today I am here with my colleague, the Reverend Eldon McKee. Eldon was a pastor here at Ladue Chapel from 1962 through 1973, and he did the same thing that I usually do. He was an associate for Christian education, and so I'm very happy to welcome him to this. And sort of his claim to fame, I guess, a little bit, but many of our members will not know that, said in the 60s was certainly a very turbulent time in the history of this nation. And Dr. David McDowell, who was the founding pastor here at Ladue Chapel, and Eldon decided go to Montgomery, Alabama, to support voting rights and to join Martin Luther King's march from Selma to Montgomery. And I was going to ask Eldon what prompted you guys to pack your bags and go to Montgomery.
Well, I know David McDowell said that he was prompted to do this just by his understanding of the gospel and the fact that he remembered as a child that there was a lynching, so-called, in the town near where they were living in Missouri. And his father ran a country newspaper. And so his father attended this event where a black man was forced to the top of a building, and then they set fire to the building and killed him by that fire. I was prompted to go because I had a couple of kind of paradigm experiences that you may want me to share.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. Please. The first one was that when I was about 6 years old, living on a farm in Illinois, my mother and my brothers and I were on a shopping trip down to the county seat town. And I don't know what prompted it, but there were black people living in a segregated area of that town. It was, as I say, not in the South, but it was in Illinois. But nevertheless, there was a part of town that was occupied by the black citizens. And one time we were crossing a street as we were shopping, and I was about 6 years old, and just incidentally, there was something that prompted my mother to say, well, some people don't care about Negroes, which was the proper term at that time. But she had a very special relationship with her father. And so her quote to my brothers and me was, but my daddy always said, they are people just like us with families who they love and who love them. And that was the end of it. But that was very memorable to me and one of the things that prompted me.
Well, which just shows you know, I think how formative things are and how impressionable, you know, we are when we are children.
Yes.
And so how important it is to talk to our kids about things like that.
Yes.
Because for in, you know, the instance of David McDowell, I mean, to see somebody set on fire is certainly a traumatic experience.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say the second experience was when I was in seminary in Chicago at McCormick Seminary. I had my, what they call now, contextual education, or field work, we called it then, at a community center for blacks on the south side of Chicago. And my first day there, I met the director who had arrived just shortly before that. And we were just talking to get acquainted with one another. And I mentioned that I had just turned 21, which was voting age back in 1952 when I was at seminary. And I said I was really excited that I finally would get to vote in a national election. And he said, "Me too. This will be my first time voting." Well, he told me he was 58 years old, and he saw my puzzled expression. So he explained to me that growing up and living all his life in the South, he could not vote. And to me, this was very striking, because obviously just coming out of the University of Illinois and being in the academic environment, this man with a PhD was very impressive to me. That was academic achievement. And that he had not been able to vote, even with a PhD, you know, that just was so striking. And so that excited my awareness of injustice in our society.
Yeah. Alan, what when you finally arrived in Montgomery, what did you guys find there? What was the situation like when you got there, actually?
Well, this was supposed to be a supportive event for the march from Selma to Montgomery in the interest of voting rights.
Okay.
And so a group had traveled from Selma to Montgomery with federal protection and authorization to make this kind of demonstration march. Well, then the whole event on Thursday, March 25th, 1965, was for people to fly in from all over the country to support this effort. At that time, Montgomery had a population of about 25,000, and it's much, much larger today.
Sure.
But nevertheless, there were almost 20 to 25,000 people that flew in. And you can just imagine what this meant to double the population in one day. And we have to remember that back in that time, the primary airplane for transportation was the old DC-3, which was a very reliable kind of aircraft. But each plane only held 27 people. So there were two planes from St. Louis that included an interdenominational group from various interfaith connections. And I shouldn't have said interdenominational, because there were people of other traditions that were also on that flight.
How interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I would imagine there was probably a Jewish delegation on there, because the Jewish community has always supported the Black community.
Yes.
And that they have a long-standing history of cooperation. So,
and there were a couple of nuns. I don't know what order they were, but one or two maybe Roman Catholic priests, and then all kinds of denominational representative from Protestant groups.
That's really fascinating.
Yeah.
I also wonder how, I would imagine this was certainly a point of conversation here in our congregation in the chapel, and I was just, you know, wondering how people reacted to the fact that you and David decided to do this. You know, I wondered, were people happy about this? were they cranky about this?
It was a very mixed kind of response. Mm-hmm. There were some people that were very, very distressed, and maybe about 5 or 6 people left the congregation over the event. But there were a lot of people who had a converse feeling of being very supportive, and particularly because David McDowell was the founding pastor of this congregation and knew all of these people. They had become members here, and he was their pastor, and he had a lot of pastoral care relationships with people that were significant. And so there was this mixed feeling. And the outcome was that almost as many people came and joined the congregation, but it became public that Ladue Chapel representatives went to Montgomery. There were as many joined as because of it as left because of it. So it really did not afflict the total membership.
So it's always a little bit of a mixed bag.
You know? Yes,
I'm sure in a congregation as large as this, and I'm sure it was at least as large back in the 60s, if not bigger.
It was about 2,000 members back
so
then.
It's just a little bigger maybe than we are now. But as one of my Jewish friends likes to say, well, if you ask two rabbis, you get at least three opinions.
Yes.
So I'm sure if you ask 2,000 people, you get at least 2,001 opinions.
Yes.
And so you can't please everybody. I'm sure that's true. But I also wondered, Eldon, you know, in all your years with all your experience, and especially with this experience in Montgomery, can you see any parallels to what's going on in our society today, or is that two entirely different things, or do you see that there is a thread running throughout history? I know you're a student of history, and so I'm just curious.
I think it's very parallel, and especially since surveys now indicate that many people choose a congregation based on the political evidence in that congregation rather than joining a church and then finding diversity. So most congregations have some diversity, of course, but it tends to be less than maybe it was at one time.
Oh, sure.
Because people choose the congregation according to their political viewpoint.
Yeah. And certainly we live in a day and age, I think, personally, where the cultural divisions have really sort of come home to roost in the church as well.
Yes.
And
yes.
So, and that is, regardless of faith tradition, sometimes when I speak to some of my rabbinical colleagues or my Muslim friends, they're dealing with the same issues that any Christian pastor or any Christian congregation would face as well. So in that regard, the faith tradition itself makes no difference. Mm-hmm. So, that's fascinating. Well, I thank you so much, Eldon, for taking the time to come in and talk with us today. I really appreciate it. I always appreciated our friendship. And
may I add one quick comment?
Absolutely.
And that is that I think since David McDowell was the organizing pastor, and everybody joined under his invitation and assimilation patterns, the fact that he sustained pastoral care, and it just reconfirms the old saying that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. I mean, that's become such a platitude, but it's absolutely true.
It is true.
It was in this case that people were more accepting in spite of their opposition than they might have been if David had not been such a pastoral person. So,
I would say that rings true for me in my own experience as well with members of our congregation here and my relationship with them and their relationship with me. So, Well, again, thanks so much.
Okay, you're very welcome.
I'm glad we got you on record. So that's wonderful, especially in light of the fact that in October we have a series in our adult education on Sunday morning about race relations, especially here in our city and whatnot. So I think it was important for our congregation, especially those who didn't have that historical background, to hear your story. So thanks again.
Anytime, because I like to talk, as you know.
So. That's quite all right. We'll be happy to have you back.
So, all right.
Thank you, Eldon. Thank you for listening.
You're welcome.
Until we meet again. Blessings.